step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You are listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, well, the views of our guest. And hopefully we're going to have Larry Pratt with us. And we're going to be talking about what's happening as far as the gun ban in Washington, D.C., and of course, legislation aimed at disarming the American people. Now, of course, the lifting of the gun ban in Washington, D.C. is really a great thing. By taking the guns away from the poor people in Washington, D.C., we've left them open to murder and mayhem and rape and crime, and because an armed populace is much, much safer than a disarmed populace. After all, you know, the criminals are not going to turn in their guns, only the law-abiding citizens. And so, you know, as a result of the gun legislation, our nation's capital, the capital of the mightiest nation in the world, is certainly also one of the murder capitals of the entire nation. Well, recently, a court actually overturned the laws that had been established by the people there, the corrupt politicians in Washington, D.C., and said the people should have a right to keep and have weapons in their home to defend themselves. And, oh, the outcry from the liberals, oh, my goodness, children are going to be killed, and all those usually trite things. Well, I'll tell you, a lot more children are killed because the people are disarmed than would be killed if responsible people had guns. Well, to address the issues, here's Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Stan, I'm doing very well. It's good to be with you.
No, it's always good to have you.
I think the D.C. gun ban decision that came down from the federal court last week is truly a remarkable document. I would encourage people to put an eyeball on it. It's available on our website at gunowners.org. Judge Lawrence Silberman and another judge on the court, Thomas Griffith, had formed the two-judge majority on this panel to overturn a gun law using the Second Amendment. And that's the first time that's ever happened in a federal court. And that was really an extraordinary event in and of itself. And why it was done, the reasoning that the judge, the two judges really, but Silberman was the author, used was pretty good. With very minor exception, I would have been very happy to have had my name on that as the author of that opinion. The judges held that the D.C. gun ban, and they didn't have even all of the D.C. gun law in front of them. They had the gun ban, but they were able to rule on that, and they said that violates the Second Amendment because the Second Amendment protects an individual right. That really has upset the establishment. The socialists don't like the notion that a court would do something that they assumed courts would not do, which is to look at the Constitution and make a ruling based on the Constitution. And happily, there really isn't much that the Supreme Court has done, so they didn't have a whole lot to get in the way of what they were deciding. There was a case back in 1934 which they looked at, and they rightly pointed out was something that you could look at as supporting either side. It was an ambiguous decision, and it basically said that a Second Amendment firearm that was protected by the Second Amendment would be any such gun that they could use in the military. But there were a lot of other questions that never got answered.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think the right of the people to keep and bear arms should also extend to the home, because you wanted to be able to defend your wife and family. We'll be right back with Larry Pratt.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 150091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the New World religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I guess this afternoon is Larry Pratt, so I'm just going to let Larry talk. You'd much rather listen to him anyway. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, Stan, thank you. I really am so glad to have a chance to talk about this decision that was handed down last week. It is so remarkable what the two judges did at that Federal Court of Appeals here in D.C., And by the way, just a parenthesis, that's a very significant court. It's viewed as kind of a junior Supreme Court, and so a very prestigious court. And for them to hand down a decision like this is all the more helpful for those of us who believe that the Constitution means what it says and hasn't become a living document to only mean what a bunch of judges tell us that it means. And so they looked at that one case some 60, 70 years ago and found that it really didn't address the issue of people owning guns for their own protection. In fact, in Silberman's opinion, he pointed out that the D.C. gun ban had had the effect of providing for a flourishing illegal market in guns, which made it quite easy for criminals to get guns, and the only people who weren't getting guns were the good guys. And mostly, though, his writing, his focus was on what the Constitution meant, and he did one of the better jobs that I've seen in knocking down the view that came around in the last quarter of the last century that somehow, well, the Second Amendment doesn't really protect an individual's right to keep and bear arms. It only protects the right of a state to have a militia. And he pointed out what the words in the Second Amendment meant at the time the Constitution was drawn up. What the words meant would, of course, in large part, been determined by how they'd been used for the 150 years that America had been organized by the English-speaking peoples, and the meaning of the words in their colonial laws for that period of time. Well, first of all, the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the collectivists, the socialists, have gone after especially two of the words in the preamble part, the dependent clause part of that Second Amendment sentence. They would look at state and say, see, for the security of a free state. So that's why we have the Second Amendment, you see. It's something to protect a state's right. Well, Silberman showed those who didn't care to look at what the words meant that, no, that's not what it's talking about, because states didn't have militias in the colonial times. Militias were municipal. They were county. They were chartered by the states, but they were organized and operated and everything else about them by these smaller units of government. So the idea that it somehow was a protection of a state's right to have a militia would have been news to the framers of the Constitution, because there had never been any such thing, and they weren't inventing anything new. In fact, although Silberman doesn't point it out, they codified the old meaning of the militia when they passed the Militia Act of 1792. This was an act that had been put on our federal books within months, about 5 months, after the final ratification of the Bill of Rights. And in this Militia Act, it pretty much told you what militia meant and had meant for all those many years of colonial experience. It said that militia was compulsory. So if you were, I think in the Militia Act, if you were between the ages of 17 and 44 or 45, you were in the militia if you were a man. And that you had to have a gun, a military gun, military rifle, and that you had to have the ammunition for it. And the only difference between that Militia Act and the colonial laws, they would go on to say, and if you don't have your own gun and you don't have your own ammunition for it, and it's not in good working order, you'll be fined. And they did fine people precisely because they didn't have a military gun or any gun at all. There were times when they would go so far with their idea of gun control that they would go door to door. Now, Bill Clinton would go door to door, had his troops go door to door in federally funded housing projects, because he didn't want people having guns. And one of the rules for living in government-subsidized housing, according to Clinton, was you couldn't have a gun. Well, when our colonial forefathers went door-to-door, they wanted to make sure you did have a gun, because if you didn't have a gun, you were going to get fined. So Silberman was aware of all this, and you see it in his explanation of what the militia meant. So clearly, the militias, he also had pointed out that the word protection of a security of a free state was not a reference to the state at all, as I've pointed out, but it was a reference to the promotion of or protection of a republican form of government, which is something that elsewhere in the Constitution is provided for. That's one of the functions of the federal government, to ensure the continuation of a republican form of government of the various states. And so this republican form of government is just another way of saying limited constitutional government. That's what the militia was for, was to protect limited government. And it wasn't entirely the idea that the militia could be used against an overbearing federal government or even state government for that matter, although that was certainly there in the idea, but it was more of a positive affirmation that a free man has a gun, a subject, even more a slave, does not have a gun. And that if you're going to have the continuation of limited and constitutional government, the idea is that that self-government is a self-government of the sovereign. The sovereign of our country is, or are, the people. And the people are the ones who set up the government, the federal government, the ones who created the Constitution, which in turn created the federal government. And so the people are the creator, and the federal government is the creature. And so the question that's kind of fundamental to politics, who's boss, who has the authority? Well, the answer in our country, under our Constitution, is the people do. Individuals and acting collectively, individuals and the people as a whole have the authority. And the government gets any authority that it has as a delegation from the people. And so you don't really go around, if you're going to continue to look at the people as the sovereign and say, but you can't have a gun. What kind of sovereign is it that doesn't have a gun, that doesn't have the ability to use force to even protect his own basic continued existence? And that's what gun control is saying, is that maybe somebody else will protect you. Of course, it doesn't work that way, but you're not going to protect yourself. We don't trust you. Well, who's this we that doesn't trust the sovereign? This has been quite a coup d'etat when the people that work for the sovereign, that is government employees, are telling the sovereign, we don't trust you with a gun. Excuse me. This is upside down. And Silberman was getting at this idea that the militia and the free state were part of the basic concept of maintaining a limited government where the people are the boss. And as a result, he shot down the arguments of the dissenter who said, well, D.C. can't be forced to abide by the Second Amendment because the District of Columbia is not a state. Well, that's an interesting notion. So because it's not a state, does that mean that the people of the district don't have First Amendment freedoms protected? They don't have a right to trial by jury? Go on through the rest of the Bill of Rights where individual rights are protected, but because they're not in a state, they don't have the right to keep and bear arms or any of the other freedoms protected by Bill of Rights? I don't think so. I think the fact of the matter is that they are part of the United States, even though they're a special part of it. They're a federal enclave. But it doesn't matter that they're not a state, because that wasn't even the idea of the Second Amendment, as Silberman showed. And the logic of saying that the Second Amendment doesn't apply because the district is not a state, you mean the amendment doing away with slavery doesn't apply either, so we can have slaves in the District of Columbia? This is such an absurd argument that it's almost embarrassing that the poor guy has to be in the same courtroom with this judge that had this opinion. I mean, it's really a shameful bit of logic, and Silberman treated it gently but very firmly that no, that doesn't fly. That's not a good argument. And so what he's done is to change the debate among federal courts, and now the question is going to become, where do we go from here? The loser is the only one that has the ability to try to get to another court. In this case, there's two possibilities before the District of Columbia as the losing party. They can ask for a rehearing by the full Court of Appeals. There's some dozen or more judges on that court. This was just a panel of three that made this decision. Maybe they'll ask for a review by that full panel, or they could decide to go straight to the Supreme Court. Well, I don't know if they're that eager to go to the Supreme Court I think they might have the same uncertainty that a lot of the rest of us do. I can see four men that I think are going to be very solid for the Second Amendment, but I don't know where that fifth is necessarily going to come from. And there's the question. But let's pick up on that when we get back.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment from Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. This is I believe it's a monumental decision. And
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our special guest is Larry Pratt. We're talking about this latest decision, and we're just hoping that it will stand there and that these ideas will spread all across the country. We need an armed population, especially as we seem to be moving increasingly towards a chaotic situation all across America. But certainly we see increasing violence, and the one protection we have is the ability to carry a weapon, because believe me, the police can't be there all the time. A responsible use of weapons is an important part of maintaining a civilized society. There just are not enough police to go around. So go ahead, Larry, pick up the story.
Well, as I say, the next big question that we really, I don't think anybody knows the answer right now, what will the District of Columbia do? They have as much risk as we do before the Supreme Court, because there's four judges that are against the Constitution. There are four that I think will vote for the Constitution, and that means one judge, probably Kennedy, would be the flip. Either way, there's going to be a 5-4 decision, and that may be their judgment that it's just too great a chance to take that there might be a Supreme Court decision governing all the inferior federal courts of the country, that the Second Amendment means a protection of the First Amendment right. That might just get them to think, you know, maybe we better wait for President Clinton, and then we'll presumably have a better court after we've put in another one or two socialist judges, and then we'll be able to take something like this up and really nail these gun guys' feet to the floor. So it's entirely possible they're not going to do anything. It just depends on how much they've been puckered, if you will, by having their beloved gun ban overturned. The mayor was remarkable, saying that he was outraged, and that here one of their most effective tools in fighting crime had been taken away from them. And they say this with a straight face in a city that has been the murder capital of the country for most years since the law went into effect. And it has produced a substantial increase in the crime rate and the murder rate now compared to before the ban went into effect. But they don't think in terms of facts. They think in terms of not trusting the people with guns. And I think it gets right back again to the question of who's the boss? Where's the authority come from? And as far as these government officials are concerned, the authority comes from them. They're sort of their own creation, and we the people exist to serve them. Very elitist, very totalitarian, a very dangerous point of view. And I think that's why the Second Amendment issue, which is hardly the only important issue facing the country, but it is certainly one of the most important litmus issues to tell where a public official's thinking is in terms of the idea of where, what kind of government we're supposed to have. That I think is what this decision is going to help us clarify in the days to come, which side of the technically, it's the Parker versus District of Columbia case. Which side of the Parker case are you on? If you're against what Judge Silberman wrote, then chances are you don't understand freedom, and you're working to get rid of what little freedom we still have left in this country.
But I think, you know, there are a lot of people who don't understand the Constitution, and what's even more frightening, there really are people who would like to see a fascist dictatorship under their control in our country, and you can't have a dictatorship with an armed populace. I think until we acknowledge that there really are people out there who have a different worldview, who do not believe in the American way of life and would like to replace it with their way of life, you know, these people are not confused. These people know the truth of the matter. They know that Washington, D.C. is the murder capital of the world, and that taking guns away from the law-abiding citizens leaves the law-abiding citizens open to criminal activity. And believe me, in the cities where no citizen has a right to have a weapon, why, the incidence of burglary goes right on up. In the cities where every citizen has been required to have a weapon, and that's happened a couple of times, the incidence of burglary went down because burglars are pretty smart people, and they don't want to go into a home if they know that in all probability the people they're going to try to rob does have a weapon.
let me just add on to that. One of our members a few years back did a survey of prisoners in the Atlanta lockup. Now, the city of Kennesaw is a suburb, and well, let me finish when the music lets us continue.
No, right,
but it's
we'll right
a very interesting
here.
Little story.
We'll be back in just a moment with our good friend Larry Pratt, and we certainly want to get you his telephone number, his website. Gun Owners of America is one of the greatest organizations in this country, and we certainly recommend it to you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two books set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
This is Communication Network. Our guest is Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. And Larry, before we go on, why don't you get your address, your telephone, website out there, all that information?
Well, we are on the web at gunowners.org, gunowners.org. That's where people can find the remarkable decision by the federal court last week. And that's where they can also sign up for free email alerts about what's going on in Congress. Those are usually put out about weekly, and they provide not only information, but what you can do, quick email to send and let the congressman know that you're watching, that you know what they're doing. That's been very helpful in controlling some of the bad things that they try to get away with. If people can't get on the web, our toll-free number that they're welcome to call is 888-886-GUNS. That's 888-886-GUNS. So those are the two best ways to get a hold of us, I think.
All right, fine. And let me recommend people do, because it's a great organization. Their information is reliable, and I'll stand behind anything they come up with. So, well, what's the next thing? Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Larry?
Well, let me just finish what we were talking about, the point that you had made, where crime, particularly home invasions, had gone down in places like Kennesaw, Georgia, where they had required every household to have a gun, and that word got out to the criminal element. Probably didn't hurt that the ACLU thought about taking them to court, and there was a lot of publicity in the newspapers and the TV radio. But in any case, we had this member that was doing a survey of prisoners in the Atlanta lockup, and he had a number of law and order gun-type questions. And one that wasn't on his questionnaire, that it was brought up by a number of the prisoners spontaneously: whatever else you do, just make sure you don't do anything in Kennesaw, Georgia. So clearly they knew, the word was out, that sure, these may be bad guys, but they certainly are rational, and they act on the basis of their own self-interest. And obviously it's not in your self-interest to invade a home where you might leave in a body bag.
And the other thing is, if you go in and you're a burglar and you're carrying a weapon and you get caught, that's a whole different body game, ball game. So, you know, burglars are looking over their shoulder, too. And, you know, you don't want to get hot, you know, get caught with an armed robbery. That's a lot more punishment.
It certainly is. So the easiest way around is to not go someplace where you're likely to run into danger. And I think that fits very nicely, by the way, with what we have learned from psychologists that have observed what the criminal is really like. And the one that I think has written the most clearly on this is Dr. Samenow, who for over a quarter of a century worked at the District of Columbia Hospital for the Criminally Insane. And it's clear from what he writes in his book, he doesn't think there's any such thing as criminal insanity. There may be a few criminals who actually are insane, but he said they're not criminals because they're insane. They're criminals because they're predators. And he gave an example in his book that was one of many, but it was helping to make his point, I think, very graphically. He reported on a conversation he'd had with a convicted rapist, and the man told him, "Doc, if they ever took away the laws making it illegal to rape, I'd have to find some other way to break the law." That's the contempt that the predator has for the law-abiding and for the law. And part of it is just the thrill of getting away with breaking the law and to show the rest of us what stupid people we are and how smart they are, being able to take whatever they want no matter what. And after about a year, he said, "I went there as a Freudian. I believed all that stuff," and I think he still does for quote-unquote regular people. But he quickly came to the conclusion that if you're dealing with a predator, they're not nuts. They may be able to talk psychobabble. He said, but that's because they're smart, and they'll learn what the staff is listening for. And if you want them to talk like they've got some sort of a problem with the way mama changed their diapers or whatever it might be, well, they'll get right into that, and they'll sound like they're quote-unquote insane, and that you can then treat them. And then, by golly, they get better so fast, and they con their way back out onto the streets. He said they're, you know, they weren't insane to start with, and so obviously they were not insane at the end of their period either. They were sane the whole way through. It's just that they're bad guys. they're predators. So that, I think, is a very helpful frame of reference to have when we're talking about the criminal mind and why they get guns no matter what. They don't care about the District of Columbia's gun ban. That's why Judge Silberman was so correct in observing that there's a flourishing market in illegal guns. Every gun's is basically illegal in the District of Columbia, certainly all handguns, because that's no problem at all for them. In fact, the only people that are burdened by the gun ban are the people that are supposed to be benefiting and don't, of course, because the criminal just simply takes advantage, greater advantage of them. And if you want to see the results of this crazy law, there are large areas of the District of Columbia where the good guys are living behind bars. It's their houses that have the bars all around the first floor windows. It's not the criminals who are behind bars. It's the good guys. So it's really nuts over there, and they clearly still don't get it. They're still talking about, well, how are we going to keep guns from getting into the wrong hands? And I know I've mentioned this many times before when you and I have talked, but England is the case where you don't have to worry about dealers selling guns to the, getting them into the wrong hands. You don't sell guns in England. You sell a few shotguns and a few higher-end sporting rifles, and to get a permit like that means you've been vetted for months and months and months, and when you go to one of the few stores left in England, they don't have to worry about your having some kind of criminal record. That's been long established as not the case, and so there are no sales possibly getting guns into the wrong hands in England. Don't have to worry about it, and yet they have a murder rate and a violent crime rate that's going through the roof. And just like Washington, D.C., just like Chicago and other cities where even if they don't actually outlaw guns, New York City comes to mind, they might as well because they make it so difficult for people to get a gun that they can't. And that, I think, helps me understand what they mean when they talk about, like, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, or Michael Bloomberg, the current mayor. When they talk about illegal guns, they don't mean just a gun that got into the hands of John Dillinger, the bank robber. They mean any gun that wasn't registered, and they defy you to get your gun registered. They just don't want anybody to do it. And so even if you use a gun in self-defense, even if somebody's invaded your home and they're threatening you and your children, doesn't matter. There was a case like that while Rudy Giuliani was mayor, and a man, a veteran, he was actually born in Jamaica. He was a Navy veteran. He was working as a computer technician, and a guy broke into his home, two-story row house in Brooklyn. And when the guy saw that the homeowner had a gun and told him not to go and bother his little boy, the guy charged him, and so he shot him and killed him. Well, they didn't charge him for that, but they did put him in jail anyway because his gun wasn't licensed. And they had to do it because they had to make clear that they weren't going to tolerate illegal guns. Now, that's the insanity of these gun control areas. It's bad enough that I would advise anybody don't even think of living in one of those areas because it may be where you prematurely die.
Well, you know, Larry, I certainly agree with everything you're saying. But, you know, this is a great issue for politicians, and my understanding is that in areas where this is raised, often in congressional races or Senate races, you know, and you've got this clear choice between a liberal Democrat and a truly conservative Republican, mm-hmm. you know, that the pro-gun people really do pretty well. And I'm just wondering, you know, are there any of the candidates that we're looking at there out there running for the presidency of the United States that we could trust you with this gun issue, that really believe in the Constitution and the right of the American people to keep and bear arms? Is there anybody out there that we can really vote for?
Well, there certainly are, although they're not the ones that the media is talking about.
Because you wouldn't expect the media hates guns, the media hates conservatives, the media hates America.
That's right. They hate America, they hate limited government, they hate what America is all about. But clearly, the most consistently pro-gun man to run for the presidency, the most consistent in the Congress, is Representative Ron Paul, who, by the way, is an evangelical Christian, has 5 children, 17 grandchildren, and a grandchild, and he's just a straight arrow. He is somebody who tries to apply the Constitution to every vote that he casts, and he's clearly in the lead as far as the most pro-Second Amendment consistently. There's a couple of other representatives that are running who are really pretty good on the gun issue. That would be Representative Duncan Hunter of San Diego and Representative Tom Tancredo of Colorado, but really, you've also got a couple of governors who are fairly pro-gun, former governors, Jim Gilmore of Virginia and Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, that all of these people are not getting any attention from the media. We're supposed to be considering Mr. Giuliani. Well, I think we've already talked about him just a few minutes ago. He's certainly not pro-gun. And when he was asked the question recently, he tried to defend his anti-gun position, saying that he had used gun control to lower crime in New York City. Well, frankly, the gun control laws had been on the books for a long time in New York City. What he did that was different was to stop the revolving door so that when somebody committed a crime, even if it were relatively minor, they'd bring charges and they'd do everything they could to make sure they stayed in jail. It had nothing to do with the laws that were the gun laws that were on the books. It was that he was enforcing laws against crime, but he also did send people to jail who used guns in self-defense. So if he wants to say that he was so good using his gun control law, he's got that sword has two sides on it, and I don't think he's going to like the way it cuts when he gets further along in the campaign. You've got John McCain, who is an arrogant anti-gun elitist who has done his level best to destroy gun shows in this country and has been a consistent opponent of the right to keep and bear arms. And frankly, just as obnoxious is his disdain for the First Amendment, his McCain-Feingold anti-free speech law that gags organizations' ability to inform the public about federal officials before elections is a monstrosity, and so I don't think there's any way he can be viewed as acceptable. You've got former governor of Massachusetts Mitt Romney, who's probably the third most sought-after Republican candidate for president. He was anti-gun as governor. He's now joined the NRA. Whatever his position really is, at least he seems to want to court the pro-gun and the pro-family side, which he was not part of when he was governor for the most part, although I think there were signs that he did change his pro-life and pro into a pro-life and pro-family governor in a few of the things that he did toward the end. But that doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence. This is a guy that's been kind of all around on all sides of the issues. There's a dark horse that's now announcing that he might get into the race. That's former Senator Fred Thompson of Tennessee. He voted to ban guns from schools. Of course, that doesn't bother criminals. In fact, if anything, it makes it more likely that they'll target schools when they want to go on a shooting rampage. And he also voted for the Lautenberg gun ban that banned people convicted of minor crimes and people indicted even from ever owning a gun in this country, and it did it retroactively, and he voted for it. He may want to come across as the conservative alternative to the three leading candidates, but conservative maybe on some other issues, but I don't see that on the gun issue.
Isn't he the district attorney on Law and Order, that the CBS, Columbia Broadcasting Systems candidate for president?
He's also an actor.
He's a superb actor. He really is. And they put him in as senator. I think they were always thought he looked like a president. Maybe we could fool the American people into voting for him like we did with the other actor. But he didn't get reelected there. So they gave him a plus job working on Law and Order. If you haven't seen him, I really love the part that he plays. But he's playing a part.
He's playing a part. And when it came down to voting, he didn't vote with us. And I think that tells us a lot. And as we were talking about it earlier, the Second Amendment issue really is a window into the mind of a candidate or anybody, how they understand how government ought to operate. And if they think government ought to have the decision as to who has a gun and convert it basically into a privilege, then that tells you that they think government has rights, that government is more important than individuals, and that government ought to be telling individuals what to do. Well, you know, from everything I've been able to determine, that's how you define socialism.
Amen to that. And certainly I think it's so important that the American people get involved in this election. If we lose this election, why I'm very, very concerned that, you know, we're going to be plunged into an endless war in the Middle East. We need somebody who wants, you know, to do the right thing and certainly wants to defend America. But I don't think we're going to defend America by expanding the war in the Middle East and killing a lot of Muslims, which is really what we're doing. So, you know, people have to get involved, and they have to get involved now. How is Ron Paul's candidacy going? Do you have any idea? I understand it was just this last week he declared his presidency, and not a word in the media that I saw.
No, it's a fairly well-kept secret. If you're depending on the mainline media, you'd have to be able to get your news independently on the Internet. Actually, I think he may be raising some fair amount of money. And while I have to say I think his candidacy is quite a long shot, if he gets enough money to be able to organize effectively in Iowa and New Hampshire, the first two states where a decision will be made, he possibly could use that to change the dynamic of the race.
Well, it's going to be fascinating.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and let me just suggest that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is listener-supported. And if you're out there and and you're not a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, well, I hope that you'll give serious consideration to helping us as we reach out across America on almost 60 outlets of one sort or another, mostly radio stations, but internet, satellite, we've gone to three or four satellites, and certainly the different short waves. We would certainly appreciate your help. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, as we've talked in the past about, you know, getting prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead, if you have one of our Radio Liberty emergency food catalog and haven't got the items that you need, give it some serious consideration right now. Don't put it off, because we don't know what the future holds, but I will tell you that everything points to the fact that the leaders of Iran want to plunge the world into a nuclear war, which doesn't make sense any more than the fact that the leaders of the United States want to plunge the world into a nuclear war. And if you would like to know more about what's going on, you'll certainly want to get our February newsletter. Now, it isn't ready. It'll be a couple of weeks. You can call and request that February newsletter right now. We want the January newsletter about the Fitzgerald report, the report on the suppression of cancer treatments, a report that was printed in the Congressional Record in 1953. It has been suppressed for 54 years, and now we're distributing it again. Why, we'll be glad to send you the January newsletter, but if you want the February newsletter, you'll have to wait a couple of weeks. But we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to laying in the food and the other supplies, the barrels for the water and the Berkey water purifiers and the pumps and the grinders and all those things you really would need in case of an emergency. And if you'd like an emergency food catalog, we'll be glad to send you one if you've got an emergency food catalog. Start thinking about what you would really need to be able to look after yourself and your family. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you will start thinking about laying in a supply of vitamins and minerals and the other things that you would need, because we never know when to disrupt. There will be a disruption of delivery systems. We just don't know. But I will tell you that after having been at this for, well, since 1962, that's, 45 years, why I believe we're moving into a crisis situation here, and that there are people in Washington, D.C. who have an entirely different worldview and a different world agenda because they worship a different God. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book, the video, the audio tape. You need to see the videos we have on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You need to see the videos on Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. You need to see the DVD on The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, an award-winning, very dramatic, excellent, very professionally produced DVD, which we recommend to you. And we have so many other things. If you want to know how they're poisoning our children and increasing their, making many of them infertile, you'll want to get our DVD or our video by Dr. Ayoub, A-Y-O-U-B, on the influenza vaccine. And when you get that, well, you get a CD that has thousands of pages of research on it. And so if you get either the video or the DVD, you'll get the CD with thousands of pages of research on it. And then, of course, you really need to get our material on water fluoridation. You need to get our material on mercury, and there's DVDs, videos, books. We have the information to let you understand that they're poisoning the American people. Are you concerned? Because it's your children and your grandchildren that they're destroying. They know what they're doing. They're evil and wicked people, because this is what evil and wicked people do. Our number one.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and well, today we're going to have Vicki Diebold, who works for the National Vaccine Information Center, and she is, of course, going to be talking to us today about the dangers of human papillomavirus infection, because this certainly is one of the most amazing scams I've ever seen. I mean, here we have, you know, a study that's gone on for a couple of years on whether or not you can prevent human papillomavirus infection, in young women, with the idea that 30 years from now, maybe it'll keep them from getting cancer of the cervix, which kills about 3,500 people in the United States every single year. And based upon a very small study with a very small group of women, girls, and none of them down in the age where they want to start doing the vaccination, with studies where they, of course, they do a double-blind study. One group they're supposed to give an inert substance to, and the other group they give the vaccine to, but the placebo group was not an inert group. They actually got the adjuvant that was used with the vaccine. So the reactions you got to the vaccine, you also got to the adjuvant, and of course that's why there was no difference between the control group, and the regular group as far as complications was concerned. That totally invalidated the study in my estimation. But based upon that and the passing out of really millions and millions of dollars to bribe politicians, Merkel's done everything they could to get mandatory forced vaccination, literally of every sixth grade girl in the United States, for a vaccine that may not prevent one case of cervical cancer, because we don't have the studies, we don't have the long-range studies. It's a massive experiment, and they're experimenting with your daughters. Vicki, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, because you actually have a PhD, don't you, in nursing?
Yes, I have a PhD in public health and in nursing, and I began my career in healthcare 30 years ago, working as a bedside nurse, and then over time did work in administration and health policy analysis, and eventually ended up in academics, and now I'm working with the National Vaccine Information Center.
All right. Well, of course, you are very, very well qualified then to talk on this subject. So why don't we get your views on the human papillomavirus vaccine, or the HIV problem, anyway, it's for paying off all the claims against Merck for Vioxx. What's the background? Because Merck company is in real trouble financially. They need something that's going to generate a lot of money. And my understanding is certainly government officials have said, now, do not start lobbying to try to get this universally. Yet they did exactly the opposite. They went out and they started spending money about and hiring lobbyists, put pressure on the legislators to get this experimental, and it's still, in my estimation, experimental vaccine given to every girl, because we don't know what's going to happen 30 years from now, do we?
No, we definitely don't know what's going to happen in 30 years. As far as the financial end of it goes, I understood that that their projections for revenue related to the vaccine was about $4 billion.
Well, somebody's got to help pay for Vioxx. We'll be right back here in just a moment or two with Vicki Diebold. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Vicki Diebold, and she has a PhD in nursing and in public health, and And now she works for the National Vaccine Information Center with Barbara Lowe Fisher, who's been a frequent guest here. But we wanted to talk this afternoon about the human papillomavirus vaccine, because this is being pushed. They want it compulsory for every sixth grade girl in the United States, under the presumption that it will certainly prevent certain types. I think there are a few types of human papillomavirus infection that seem to be associated with the majority of cervical cancers. About 3,000 women die every year of cervical cancer today. But do we have solid proof that there's any solid proof that this vaccine is actually in the future going to prevent any cervical cancers? Has it prevented any cervical cancers to date?
Well, what the clinical trial showed was that it did seem to be efficacious in decreasing the rates that young women were experiencing infection with two of the 30-some-odd human papillomaviruses that have been associated with cervical cancer. The maximum length of the trials was only 5 years, and it takes generally a number of years, if not decades, before cervical cancer actually matures.
Isn't this, what, about 50 years of age, somewhere there?
Yeah, somewhere between the ages of, I believe, like 35 and 50 is where you would typically see this. So the trials didn't run long enough to actually be able to determine whether or not it was going to be effective in actually preventing cancer.
Well, now, what about the complications? My understanding is that there have been a number of reported cases to the VAERS reporting unit of women, girls that have had problems with the infections and, pardon me, after the vaccinations. What's the story there, and is there anything we should be concerned about?
Well, we think so. We've been monitoring the reports that have been filed with VAERS since the vaccine was licensed on June the 8th of this past summer, and since the time the CDC recommended that it go into the National Immunization Schedule for sixth grade girls, which was the tail end of June, the very first adverse event report.
Hold that, would you hold that for just a moment to bring our stations on? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Vicki D. Bolden. We were talking about the VAERS reports. Now, the VAERS reports are adverse reaction reports that are submitted to the... do they submit those to the drug manufacturers, or do they submit those to the government?
Well, the VAERS database is the government's database, and anyone who administers vaccines, if a reaction is experienced, they are required by law to submit a report of that reaction to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is affiliated with the Food and Drug Administration. They may also report it to the manufacturer.
I understand that probably only about, what, 10% or so of the...
That's right.
Adverse reports really get reported.
That's right. It's about 10%, and... which, if you are trying to figure out what might be going on with Gardasil, it leads you down a path that's it's a little unsettling.
All right, why don't you tell us about the VAERS reports and what's really happened since they started giving this to a large number of girls?
Well, the first VAERS report was filed 2 weeks after the CDC recommended that Gardasil go into the national schedule for all sixth grade girls. And since that time, they have steadily increased in number to the point that the last data that we analyzed from VAERS for January of 2007, about six reports per day were coming in. And at that point in time, there had been 615 reports filed, ranging from with complaints ranging from numbness and redness and swelling at the injection site and pain all the way to seizures and what we are seeing is what we're calling atypical sort of fainting episodes and a few cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Could you explain to our listeners what Guillain-Barré is?
Guillain-Barré syndrome is a type of a neuroinflammation response that typically starts in the feet and it goes up the legs, where that the person experiences numbness and tingling and then has difficulty even feeling their extremities. Oftentimes it is temporary, but it can last a long time. There can be some permanent disability from it. And vaccines are known to be associated with Guillain-Barré.
Now, isn't there an element of paralysis with many of the people who have Guillain-Barré?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, once you cannot feel, you know, your arms or your legs, you have a great deal of difficulty moving it.
All right, fine. So this is really a very, very tragic situation. And I know in my years in practice, I treated a number of Guillain-Barré, and many times they got well, and sometimes they didn't. That was the problem. Now,
Well, I think an interesting point about the Guillain-Barré is that in the adverse events reporting system, there were five cases that we identified and we wrote up in our last of our last series of reports. And when the Associated Press interviewed the CDC about that, the CDC said, well, no, that there had only been three cases of Guillain-Barré. But in a newspaper article that came out just a day ago out of a small town paper in Indiana, the lead investigator for the Gardasil, one of the Gardasil studies, who is a faculty member at Dartmouth, she reported to them that they were aware of 40 cases.
I see.
We are waiting to see whether these cases are actually filed in the next month and a half or not.
I see. So maybe the CDC is not being entirely forthright then.
Well, it would be interesting if all of these cases came up all at once, since the last time they made a public comment about the number of cases that they were aware of.
All right. Now, one of the things that really interested me about the initial studies is that many of the girls, one in 10,000 or something, had some sort of an autoimmune disease, but it was no more frequent in the control group that was given the placebo than in the group that was given the vaccine. But didn't they fudge that by actually using the adjuvant, in other words, the stimulant that they put in the vaccine, in the control group, which would obviously then throw any discussion of the incidence of complications out the window?
Well, I think it definitely complicates it a great deal, because what was in the quote-unquote placebo was the aluminum adjuvant. And, there have been a great number of reports about issues related to aluminum, in particular producing paresthesia, numbness and tingling in the extremities where it is given, and sort of a neuroimmune response in relationship to that. There was something that was in the product insert for Gardasil that compared a small number of reactions between the vaccine itself, the placebo that contained the aluminum, and then just normal saline. And you could see very quickly that there was far less redness and swelling and pain and so forth in the people that just had the normal saline. So it makes it really hard to kind of tease out what might be going on that is a function of just the vaccine versus a function of the vaccine plus the placebo, or the adjuvant.
And so basically what they did is they sort of confused the initial study by having one group of controls where they were using the adjuvant, another one with saline. So, I mean, what you're doing is unfairly saying, well, see this, look at this group of placebo, and they got just many of the same reactions that the other group did. But it wasn't really a placebo. It was the adjuvant.
That's right. That's right.
Now, what about the possible implications as far as birth defects is concerned? What about the possible implications as far as autoimmune disease down the line of concern? doesn't the manufacturer have some stipulations there that this has never been evaluated as far as birth defects?
Yeah, on the product insert, they say that they don't know what the long-term effects might be on, genetic or chromosomal damage. You can't really know in a trial that only lasts 5 years and that so few people got the vaccine and then got pregnant, and then they took a look at pregnancy outcomes. The pregnancies that did occur during the trials, there were more congenital anomalies, birth defects, in the babies that were born to women who had gotten Gardasil. But there were a small number of births. So
hold that thought. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
There were a small number of births, so the difference between the two groups was statistically insignificant. But nonetheless, there were differences that really need to be followed up to figure out exactly what's going on.
But it sounds to me then that they're really sort of experimenting on our entire female population.
Well, the investigator who was one of the lead scientists on the HPV vaccine work, her name is Diane Harper, who's on the faculty at Dartmouth. As a matter of fact, the newspaper article that just came out on the 16th states that, quote, giving it to 11-year-old groups is a great big public health experiment, unquote, is exactly what she said. There just were not enough 11- and 12-year-old girls in the trials to be able to know, number one, whether the vaccine works, how long it works for, or whether there are safety issues that are distinct to girls who are prepubescent. It's, as best we can figure out, there were probably somewhere in the neighborhood of less than 400 girls under the age of 12 years old in all of the clinical trials.
And based upon then this 400 girls, they're going to give it to the entire population, force them to take it? That sounds crazy.
Well, that was the plan, was to try to get this vaccine mandated in all 50 states and as a condition of attending public school. Most of the legislation that has been considered has quote-unquote opt-out provisions so that the parents who do not want their daughters to have it would be able to say that they didn't want that. The legislation is having, a bit of a trouble getting through. I believe that bills are sitting on the desk now of the New Mexico and the Virginia governor's desk, waiting for signatures. But the bills in the other states have had a bit more difficulty. But it's been introduced, I believe, in 38 states.
In other words, well, who is the driving force behind this? Is it the Centers for Disease Control? Is it Merck who's going to get, $360 a shot? You've got to get three shots?
Actually, I think the $360 would be pretty much the wholesale cost for physicians for the vaccine alone. And in fact, some of the vaccine supply houses we looked at were selling it at about $135 per injection, which would be the physician's cost.
All right.
And the physician has to add on other charges to that. I just talked to a mother the other day who spent $295 for one shot.
$290, close to $300 for one shot. So, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Vicki Diepold. But I hate to say that there's any motivation for money in medicine. I don't think most doctors are in this for the money, but I believe that Merck is in it for the money. I believe that the politicians are in it for the money, and I can't help but wonder if there may be some people working for the government who are looking forward to getting a nice job for Merck, or when they retire from the CDC or the FDA or one of those other government jobs. It's amazing how many of them end up working for the drug companies. Well, Vicki, I certainly had that. Now, were there some other provisions, in my understanding, that were not only some uncertainty as far as, you know, possible birth?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Several cases of Guillain-Barré that have followed giving Gardasil along with the meningococcal vaccination. And of course, the meningococcal vaccination is well known for, or at least there have been several cases of Guillain-Barré associated with that. So we don't know whether the girls got their Guillain-Barré because they got the meningococcal vaccine, because they got the Gardasil, or maybe the combination of the two. And then, of course, Vicki was talking about the problem that certainly many of the people are fainting, but they're not fainting right when they get the vaccine. They're fainting maybe 10 minutes or so later. So that doesn't sound like it's a matter of fear. And the question you always worry about with these vaccines, are they getting some sort of an inflammatory reaction to the brain or some sort of an insult to the brain? Is that why they're fainting? Is that in the back of your mind, Vicki?
Yeah, we're really very concerned about this because it is extremely unusual for people to pass out 10 minutes after the shot. And I just spoke with a mother yesterday whose 14-year-old daughter had gotten her shot, and they were in the waiting room checking out to pay their bill, and the next thing she knew, her daughter just fell backwards, just flat on her back, banged her head, and immediately began to have a seizure. And the medical staff came out and helped her up and helped her into a chair, into a wheelchair. She was still seizing. And then she stopped and went to put her shoe back on and began seizing again. And that lasted for about 3 to 4 minutes.
Had the girl had any history of epilepsy before?
No, she had no history. She was had been completely healthy. There had been no history of autoimmune issues, allergies, or epilepsy or anything like that in her past. And we have there as of the end of January, there had been 17 cases of what we call syncope, or sort of these unusual fainting spells that were combined with seizures.
Well, of course, the thing is, this is what happened originally with the DPT shots, and it was there seemed to be some sort of insult to the brain, and of course, sometimes there were residual after that. Are there any residuals in the mental function after these, or is it too early yet to tell?
I think it's too early yet to tell. But what's a bit concerning with a few of the cases, it seemed that there were problems the next day and the next day after that, where that some of these young women were complaining of visual disturbances, and one woman developed problems with her speech. She had expressive aphasia 4 days after her vaccine and ended up being admitted to the hospital for a number of days because of that, and she had some severe memory issues as well. And while it seems like people are recovering, I mean, at least the people that we're talking to, we're not talking to everybody because, people are not contacting NVIC directly, so we have no way of easily following up on what's happened to these people.
But of course, the doctors are always going to discount this. Oh, what happened anyway? It was just a coincidence, because the doctor's really afraid of getting sued after he's given a vaccine. And then if it's a complication, so often, and having been a doctor for a long period of time, I sympathize with the quandary that the medical profession is in, but of course there's always a tendency to play down the very real reactions that do occur after vaccination. Have you run into that?
Well, we're aware of concerns about lawsuits, but immunization and vaccines are sort of a special case in that regard, and in that is that there had been a lot of issues with DPT in the early 80s, and as a result, Congress passed some legislation in 1986 that transferred the liability for vaccines to the federal government. So anybody that's injured with a vaccine, they file a claim with the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program.
Yeah, but then just try to get any money out of them. Isn't that sort of a tough job to do?
I think it is. I think it's a tough job. I think they turn away at least two-thirds of the claims. And even so, they've paid out $1.6 billion since the mid-'80s.
Right, but they will fight you at every turn. This is the story that we've gotten. So suddenly we've given the vaccine companies a free ride. They have no liability, and now it's all on the federal government. And we'll try to sue the federal government sometime and see what happens. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Vicki Diepold, and we're talking about the human papillomavirus immunization, which, of course, is being encouraged all across America. Do we have any idea how much has actually been given by this time? And are we talking about thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of girls who have actually been vaccinated? Do we have any idea?
You know, we don't know how many have been vaccinated. I understand that as of the end of 2006, that 2 million doses had been sold. But we don't know how much of that has actually been administered.
Well,
and, you know, for each, it's a three-dose series. So you have to get three doses in order to...
Ready to be effective. And so it's really, by the time you get through, you're talking pretty close to $800 or $900 that coming out of pocket. What about for the families that can't afford it? Will Medi-Cal or one of the insurances pick up this?
I do believe some of the insurance companies are picking it up, and yes, some of the states are talking about making it available through their state Medicaid plans, so that it would be available to those girls as well. And also, in case you don't know, that there are efforts underway to approve this for boys as well, because you will not be able to achieve herd immunity with the vaccine unless boys as well as girls are being vaccinated.
But, of course, this is a lifestyle of infection. In other words, if people are not being sexually promiscuous, they're not going to get the disease, are they?
I think it would be very difficult. I have read where that HPV has been cultured in very young kids, 3- and 6-year-old children, but I think that's not how it is typically transmitted. It's a sexually transmitted disease for the most part.
Are we giving our children the wrong message when we tell them we don't want you to be promiscuous, there are all sorts of problems, infections, pregnancy, emotional, but as long as you're going to be here, well, let's go ahead and get you this vaccine just in case. Are we giving our children a mixed message?
Well, you know, I don't know, but my big concern is that if you vaccinate an 11-year-old girl, and by the time that, you know, they need to have the vaccine on board, it's not going to be effective. I mean, they're already talking about needing to give booster shots at 5 years out, and, I mean, who knows if this is going to turn into booster shots for the rest of their lives.
Hold it. All right, fine. Our guest today is Vicki Diepold, and we were just talking about how long this vaccination is good for. And Vicki was suggesting, we don't know. It's all sort of a big experiment. We're experimenting on the whole population of this country. All of our young girls, we don't know what it's going to do to as far as congenital abnormalities of their children and a number of things that the company puts on the insert that suggests we don't know what the long term is. And so why are we going to give it to everybody when we really don't know? And then if we're going to have to continue, have another shot 5 years down the line, they get it when they're 11, and they get it when they're 16, and they get it when they're 21, and they get it when they're 27, or, you know, are they going to have to take it all the rest of their lives? And they're still going to have pap smears, because, of course, this is not going to stop all the human papillomavirus infections. How many of the human papillomaviruses, the substrains, does this get, and how many are there still out there that this doesn't hit?
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, because I think it's been very, very confusing for people, because mostly what you see is that the vaccine addresses 70% of cervical cancer, and that 3,700 women per year die of cervical cancer. But that that doesn't really tell the whole story. A recent article in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that indeed somewhere near 27% of women have HPV infections, but most of them will clear the infections. About 90% will be cleared within 2 years. But of that 27%, only 2.3% are infected with the two strains of HPV that are in the vaccine. And so if you assume that about 90% of that will be cleared, what we're really talking about is a vaccine that might affect the outcomes of about 0.25% of American women.
And so basically then the other 99.75% are not going to get much benefit from it.
We don't think so.
All right, fine. So that is rather questionable whether this is really very good, other than it's pretty good for Merck if they're getting, you know, the amount that we're talking about. You know, what did you say about over $100 for every shot?
Actually, I think the wholesale cost for physicians is a minimum of $120. Then there is an office charge and so on top of that. So we conducted a little telephone survey here in Northern Virginia, and we found prices ranging anywhere from about $500 for the series up to about $900 for the series.
All right. Well, before we go on, I want you to get your website for the Vaccine Information Service and of course, your certainly how people can get in touch with the organization that you represent. Because for our listeners out there, if you want information on vaccinations from an impartial point of view, why, let me suggest this organization. We've worked with it for a long period of time. Their information is valid. It is very objective, and it's very reliable. And I think that every parent needs to understand the vaccination issue, because, of course, it is their responsibility what happens to their children. Do not depend upon the government. Do not depend upon the doctor. The parent is the ultimate responsibility. God gave the parents, children to parents, not to either the government or to the doctor. Believe me, if there's a complication, you're going to have to live with it, not them. So how can people get in touch with you?
Well, our website is www.nvic.org, and that's National Vaccine Information Center.org. And if you are interested in the Gardasil HPV vaccine issue, right on our homepage is a link into the section that deals with the vaccine, and you can read for yourself the two reports that we produced analyzing the data that has been submitted so far about the injuries that people are stating are associated with the vaccine, and you can also read a lot of the background papers there. NVIC has been in business for about 25 years now, and we work hard to support the right to informed decision-making as it relates to vaccines, and we support public education.
All right, and I certainly agree with that. Well, our telephone number, do you mind taking calls if people out there would like to talk to you?
Oh, sure.
All right, fine. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Vicki Diepold, and she has a PhD in public health and nursing, and now she's working there with the Vaccine Information Service Committee, and they do great work in the National Vaccine Information. Is that right? And National Vaccine Information Committee?
It's Center. It's National Vaccine Information Center.
Center, okay, fine. The National the Vaccine Information Center, and their information is very, very reliable, but I think this is such an important issue because my understanding is they're working on hundreds of vaccines. They want to vaccinate our children and us against just about everything imaginable, don't they?
Well, if you go to the National Institutes of Health website and you go to clinicaltrials.gov and type in vaccine, you'll see that there are well over 500 ongoing research studies for vaccines now, and they cover, you know, a lot of different organisms. So I think there, you know, we can expect many new vaccines to be to be coming down the pike pretty soon.
All right, now, as far as the human papillomavirus vaccine, is there any suggestion that there may make a person more predisposed to autoimmune disease?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I think any time that foreign substances are injected into the body, you run of things happening that you didn't anticipate. It's so new. New into the program that we're still trying to figure out, what exactly is going to happen. Some of the NIH scientists have also wondered what happens when that you suppress two strains of a virus that exist in an ecosystem. So what happens when you suppress two of the strains that we know are associated with cervical cancer, and there are others that are associated with cervical cancer, which strains are going to sort of step up and fill the void here? This is also another unknown that we're trying to sort out here.
All right, fine. And of course, but isn't the function of the adjuvants to stimulate the immune system?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They are to decrease cell wall permeability so that the vaccine can actually, the antigen in the vaccine can actually get into the cell and do what it needs to do. And yes, it is to stimulate the immune system.
What does that do to the brain when you actually then make the cell wall more more permeable? Does it have any influence at all on the brain or brain function?
Well, for some of the vaccines, we know it can, particularly in infants, and the pertussis portion of the DPT is a great example, because the pertussis is used in scientific settings to cause neuroinflammation in laboratory animals when they need that to occur because of the experiment that they're producing. And, once that you turn on the neuroinflammation process, that you can get encephalitis, you can get swelling and edema in the brain, and you can end up with some very serious brain injury.
Well, I have heard that this human papilloma vaccine is genetically engineered. In other words, they're using not the virus itself, but something has been engineered to simulate that. It's very, very similar to what we have with the hepatitis B vaccine, which is just a gene off of the it's not the entire virus, it's just a gene of the virus. Is that true in this instance as well, or is this a killed virus?
No, it's not a killed virus. It's they've used protein parts, bits of the different viruses to manufacture the vaccine. It's not a whole virus or live virus or killed virus.
All right, fine. Now, so then, they're just taking part of the genetic makeup of that virus, and certainly this is what they've done with hepatitis B. But we know that there's really more reactions to hepatitis B than almost with any of the other vaccines that are out there. Is that true?
Well, yeah, hepatitis B there are a lot of reactions to that. And there are some common features between the Gardasil vaccine and hepatitis B and hepatitis A, which is also causes a lot of reactions. Not only do all of these have aluminum in them as an adjuvant, two of them also have sodium borate in there, which is something that we are looking into. That is, it's boric acid. I mean, and it is used, it's a component in rat poison that is used to manipulate the pH or the acid-base balance in the vaccine. So we are trying to see if we can figure out whether there are some common features across these vaccines and some of the symptoms that are being produced.
Well, somebody had called in, and perhaps they just didn't get the entire context of what we've said, but the question is there an opt-out option for girls? In other words, the parents say, we don't want that. Why, of course, and they can't be forced to do it. In other words, they can't say, well, you can't come to school. The whole idea is they're trying to say, you can't, you know, go into the seventh grade unless you have this shot. But can the parents all across the country say, we don't want this, and we pay our taxes, and we want our children to go to school? Are there any states that do not give them the opt-out option?
Well, this is interesting because the opt-out provisions as they relate to Gardasil is sort of a new, it's a bit of a new phenomenon here with vaccine mandates. Generally, you're only allowed to opt out of mandatory vaccinations if there is a medical reason that a doctor has certified to. In some states, in all but two states actually, they offer religious exemption. So if you have sincere religious beliefs that the vaccine interferes with, you can ask for an exemption based on for religious grounds. There are a few states that offer philosophical waivers. Are exemptions where you can basically say, I don't believe in this vaccine and therefore I choose not to take it. But that's not the way it is in most states. But for most of the legislation that we're seeing related to Gardasil, they are putting in opt-out clauses where the parents can say, no, I choose not to do this. But you would have to look at the individual legislation in your state.
All right, so every state really is
different.
It's going
to be different.
And here in California, why, we really don't know how it's going to turn out. Have you heard anything at all? My understanding, there's been a lot of opposition from parents who are saying, look, this ought to be up to us, not up to you.
Well, I do think it is very controversial, and I'm sorry to say I don't know exactly what's going on in California because there's just so many things going on in all the different states here as related to this vaccine. We literally can't keep up.
I know. I'm amazed you do as well as you do. Somebody just called in and said, is the human papillomavirus mostly found in girls who've been sexually active and or had multiple sexual partners?
That's true. It is primarily found in people who have been sexually active, and if you've had multiple partners, there's a very high likelihood of being infected.
All right, fine.
But all it takes is one partner, you know. I mean, it may have been your first partner, but perhaps it wasn't the other person's first partner. So that's been part of the rationale for vaccinating everyone. So you know, an individual could have had no other partner but one, but all it takes is something to have occurred on the other side of the equation.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. My opinion, and I'd like to know what you think, is that this effort to force girls, we're talking about 11-year-old girls all across America, to take a compulsory vaccine for a virus that is contracted sexually by sexual promiscuity, this is meeting a lot of resistance. I mean, more so than any of the other vaccine programs I've seen. Is this your impression?
Yes, I think it's meeting a lot of resistance, and I think it's meeting resistance for a lot of different reasons. Aside from, the values-based reasons, even the Centers for Disease Control and people from the American Academy of Pediatrics have expressed opinions that they don't think it ought to be mandated because that it's too new, it's too early, it hasn't... technically speaking, this vaccine isn't even through its clinical trials. The last phase of clinical trials, phase 4, is this post-marketing surveillance period time, and that's when they find out about all the safety problems.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why would they be pushing this when they haven't gone through the trials and they're not entirely sure it's safe?
Because it has been licensed, and, it can be given. I think part of the reason that Merck had a strong incentive for pushing it as hard as it did is because its competitor, GlaxoSmithKline, is going to have a vaccine coming out in the next few months.
In other words, this has more or less to do with competition and economics rather than sound medicine.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with competition and economics.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about your daughter being part of a massive experiment? Was this something that makes you feel better? Why are parents rushing into this when, of course, we do not know what the impact will be as far as their children's offspring, whether it be genetic abnormalities, whether it be increased genetic abnormalities? The company doesn't know. They put it on the insert. Have you read the insert? Well, our guest has been Vicki DePoe. I hope you've enjoyed this. Well, we've got just 3 minutes. We've got Marilyn calling from Sacramento. Hi, Marilyn. Do you have a question?
Well, yes. I think I heard you say that...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I have 4 excellent vaccines. We'll have a Barbara Lowe Fisher next week. She'll be talking on the subject as well. And then we want you to have all the various aspects of this and be able to discuss it intelligently. A gigantic experiment on the girls of America. But that's what water fluoridation is. And it's been a disaster. And of course, it destroys the intelligence. And of course, it destroys the thyroid and the fertility. But they don't care. They have a different agenda. And the same thing is true with mercury. And the same thing is true with the aspartame and the MSG. And if you want the documentation, we have it all in book form, in of DVDs and videos and audio tapes, and you need to get this information. The best way we can get to people is to make them understand that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to hurt their children. And they're destroying the lives of our children. 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality of some sort. You don't see this in the Amish children that are not getting the vaccines. 1 in 6 American children has asthma or some sort of autoimmune disease. You don't see it in the Amish children. They have a controlled study on this. They know what they're doing. And we've got the minutes of their own meetings where they admit it. And they're simply lying to the American people. You need to get the information. You need to get our 4 tape sets. And then you need to begin to get to your doctor. You need to get to your ministry. You need to get to people who can make a difference. You need to get involved. Because one of these times it may be your children or your child. Or they'll be having problems or congenital abnormalities or Down's disease. Down's disease is much more frequent in fluoridated areas. And what a tragedy to be burdened with a Down's child or a deformed child unnecessarily. So we hope that you'll certainly go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We've got a 4-tape set on vaccines, and we'll send you an article along with that that we think gives you a valid and intelligent approach to what you should be doing about vaccination. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get our 4-tape set on vaccine. And then, of course, if you want to know what they've done to our boys overseas, to our military, you need to get the 4-tape set on the anthrax vaccine. You need to get the 4-tape set on vaccine A, which was the experimental vaccine that they gave to our troops during the first Gulf War, and the devastating effects that the squalene had, there are so many other issues here. You can get our material, our 4-tape sets on mercury. You can get our 4-tape sets on fluoride. You can get our 4-tape sets on aspartame and MSG and the DVDs and videos that go with that. But get involved, because if you're not involved, who will be? And if not, now when are you going to become involved? When it's too late? When your children or your grandchildren have a Down's child or a deformed child or a mentally defective child? There are 18 papers out of China that show that water fluoridation decreases intelligence significantly. And yet, of course, this is never mentioned here in the United States, but we have access to the papers, and you'll see actually 4 of them described in my syllabus. It's called The Hidden Agenda. We have the abstracts of the papers. You can see them. You can read them. You can take them to the doctor. Or the Down syndrome, or how it decreases the testosterone rates levels. Why do you think so many men are having dysfunction at the present time? These things are not happening by accident. There are people who have a different worldview and a different agenda. Of course, you need to get our material on population control. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction. Or a video on population control. Our 4-tape set on population control, to the population control special. Find out what's going on. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your children and generations yet unborn. And again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Peter Devlin, says support troops are essential to combat operations and more will be needed.
These enablers were always necessary to be able to support the combat brigades that were part of the plan. That's what was expected, and that's what's needed for success here.
Appearing with Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern, President Bush says that St. Patrick's Day brings Americans together.
St. Patrick's Day is an occasion that unites two distinct groups of Americans, those who are of Irish descent and those who wish they were.
The President went on to thank Prime Minister Ahern for his work on resolving the problems in Northern Ireland.
I cannot thank...